Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and by popular demand, I have with me special guest Michael Brazemley.
Wow, a popular demand.
Dude, people love having you on the show.
Oh, okay.
You know, after 120 episodes or whatever I've done, I guess it's nice to hear another voice in here every now and again. Yeah, I can't say that I blame him for that.
Nice.
So, yeah, dude. You are definitely an asset to the show. You bring the knowledge base that I do not bring to this show. Or you have different knowledge from what I have.
Yeah, different knowledge.
Yeah, I've got the academy knowledge. You got the steward knowledge and the institutional knowledge. And either way, it's a good team. So, first a correction. It turns out in a previous episode, we had talked about the state newsletter being paid for by funds from our branch and essentially being run by the branch or something like that. Well, we got a correction on that. And what is the basis of that correction?
Saying that the state pays for it, but we pay the majority of it.
Yeah, so, like we pay to the national, and the national sends some back, and some goes to the branch, some goes to the state, whatever. But I guess they, regardless, I guess the moral of the story is that they operate essentially independently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, but it's okay for them to say stuff on their favor. But it's somehow when we're trying to say stuff on this podcast, it's not okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was the gist of the podcast that we did, that we released the day of our branch meeting, was that, yeah, they just want us to shut the fuck up and not talk about what's going on.
Yeah. So, but we, again, this podcast that I'm helping Alan with is that we're trying to give as much of truthful general knowledge as much as we can, so that's why we're correcting stuff when we find something that's different.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Unlike when we bring corrections to our branch officials, they ain't about that.
Right.
No. And in fact, there's a trend that we've been noticing when we argue with our branch officers, which we did quite a bit at this at this last meeting, that when we make our arguments, they are supported by bylaws, by NALC constitution, by Department of Labor rulings. And when the good old boys make their argument back at us, they are supported by, that's the way we've always done it, or I'm the boss and I'll do it however I want.
Yeah.
And it looks like the branch is starting to see the difference between those two modes of argument.
I just to give some example, have a carrier that I work with. She got a email from our secretary because when she filed a charge against our president, and it was done completely wrong.
Yeah.
And so she was complaining to the secretary, like, hey, you did this all completely wrong. And his answer was, well, that's your fault for not bringing it out.
Right. Yeah. Blame the victim.
And so he was basically telling her, hey, if you don't know the rules, that's all your fault.
Dude.
Okay. Which is funny because now we bring the rules and they're like, I don't care about the rules. We just want to do it our way.
So let's get into what happened at the branch meeting. Guys, I'm going to spoil it a little bit. This this podcast is a bit of a victory lap because things went our way big time at the branch
meeting. Not all of it, but
I can't think of what didn't go our way.
That will be the charge against Paul.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So we'll get into that too. But going into the meeting, you guys heard some of what was going on going into the meeting, but there were some things that we didn't talk about because maybe it was strategy at the meeting or things like that. But one of the big things that Michael and I were really looking forward to is finally getting our questions about the election answered, because the good old boys are doing everything they can not to answer questions about all the improprieties in the election, because obviously those answers are going to be damning. And so they're doing whatever they can to avoid these investigations going forward. And Michael brought charges against our election chair, and then the election chair brought charges against us. And we're ready to have our day in front of the branch.
Didn't the election chair, when he brought the charge against us, they gave it to us 5 minutes before the meeting.
Yeah, they did.
And then they read the charges like almost 15 minutes later.
Yeah, to start the meeting.
Right.
They read the charges. Yeah.
So I filed charge against our president
week
earlier.
Well, let's one thing at a time. We'll get to that in just a second.
Okay. I'm just giving people the timeline. You know?
Yeah, because that'll be relevant for sure. Mm-hmm. So our charges have just been sitting. Like, there's been no investigation done. The investigative committee was appointed, but as we found out from the people on the committee, they weren't given instructions on how to proceed. These are people who aren't like branch insiders. Most people don't read the rules and know the procedures. And all they got from the branch was a copy of the charges and never got any marching orders or anything like that. So they didn't do anything in December. And so the branch secretary calls me up and says, hey, we're going to be delaying the vote on these Article 10 charges until the next month, until our February meeting, because nothing's been done. And it does say in Article 10 that the charges can be delayed once, but they get delayed by a motion at the meeting, which has to be approved by the branch. It does not say in there that the secretary can unilaterally make the decision to delay these charges. That is ludicrous.
I think the rules is that the committee decides to extend, and they have to ask the general membership, not the secretary.
Yeah, none of this comes from the secretary. It is way out of left field for the secretary to think that somehow the power is vested in him to make this decision. But that has yet to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I argue with him about, dude, I don't think this is right, I'm citing Article 10. And his answer is, well, I have the authority to do it. Where are you getting that authority from? Well, that's the way I've always done it. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is that same two-sided argument.
So who made the complaint to?
So because the branch secretary says, well, I've made my decision. Okay, you've made a decision. And in Article 11 of the Constitution, if you disagree with the decision of a branch officer, you can appeal to the branch president. And so I did. I appealed to our branch president. I said, hey, I don't think the secretary has the authority to make this decision. It's got to go in front of the branch. Well, would you like to try to guess how our branch our branch president ruled on that decision? Go ahead and tell him, Michael.
It goes whatever he says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he said appeal denied.
Yeah.
I agree with the decision. Appeal denied. And like that was his entire message back to me. I agree with the decision. Appeal denied.
Mm-hmm.
So now, under the provisions of Article 11, now I can appeal the president's decision to the branch at the meeting. And so I let him know, hey, I don't agree with your decision. I'm taking this to the branch. So that's one of the issues that we're going to be addressed at this meeting. The other one, go ahead and tell about your charges.
So I filed a charge against our president for neglect of duty and a few others, including messing with the election. And the way the Article 10 says is that when we're filing a charge, that the secretary has to be reserved and read at the next meeting. What that means is since I gave the charge a week earlier, it means the next meeting is the next general meeting, right? Not the next general meeting. And so I get an email from our secretary, who is also making decisions for everybody, says, oh, since the next meeting will be not till February. And I said, no.
This is days before the meeting.
So I said, if you read it, it says on the next meeting. On the next meeting means whatever the one that's coming up.
Yeah,
that's
what it says. What kind of crazy interpretation of it's an interpretation that smacks of desperation, of people doing anything they possibly can to avoid answering questions about the election and avoiding the accountability that will come with it.
I asked him, I said, hey, by the way, you know, you gave us charge on the last meeting and then read the charge 10 minutes later.
Right, minutes before the meeting.
Uh-huh.
Michael and I were served for that charge.
And so how come now, all of a sudden, this is not possible? Well, he goes, well, I did it wrong last time, and I'm going to make sure I do it right this time.
Right.
But he's doing it wrong again this time.
Yeah, this time is the time that
he's doing it wrong.
It's so wild. Okay?
So he goes, well, Michael, you think you're perfect. I'm going, I'm being perfect. I said, you know what? I want you to be better than me. And you know what his answer was? Well, I want you to be better than me. Like, it's a childish thing. It is so crazy for somebody who is I think he's 80 years old, acting so childish.
And so he refused to read the charges at the meeting and to move forward with these charges that were submitted in plenty of time. And then we had a second set of charges from somebody else that were unrelated, like totally different charges against our president, and he refused to read those too.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the meeting, the branch secretary pulls me aside to let me know that, hey, he's not going to go forward with these charges. Now, technically, the charges are from Michael, mm-hmm. but we're two peas in a pod at this point.
So we have another charge from another person.
Okay, wait, go ahead.
Yeah, another person filed a charge against our president,
mm-hmm.
And she did not like the fact that he also told her that he's going to do the charges in February and not in this meeting.
Yeah, and he quoted the rule at the next meeting. Yeah. We're like, yeah, dude, the next meeting. That's the one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she didn't like that. So he got angry at her, and his response was on that, I can delay it as long as I want.
Yep, he said that in front of me and her. Mm-hmm. Because he says, like I said, Jerry, you don't have the authority to do that. And he says, I absolutely do. I can delay it if I want to. And I go, why don't you just delay it indefinitely? Then nobody ever has to answer questions about the charges. And he says, yeah, I can delay it as long as I want. Or he said, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. If he can't do his job, he can be expelled from the union. So I don't know how that goes.
Dude, well, we may be finding out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. So the third thing that was scheduled to happen at that meeting was hearing of our appeal over the election.
Well, actually, that was almost towards the end. They put it to the end. Dude,
yeah, they put it at the end of the agenda. Yeah.
And so I put in the motion to do it early.
Right. And the motion, there was argument back and forth over the motion. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the motion did carry pretty easily. Mm-hmm. That people, because already people are arguing back and forth about what happened in the election and how we want our appeal. And so, yeah, it was time to argue about it. But that happened a little bit later in the meeting. You know, mm-hmm. early on, the first order of business was my appeal of the president's ruling mm-hmm. that the secretary has the authority to delay the investigation. And so as soon as the meeting starts, we do our invocation, we do our Pledge of Allegiance, and then it's time for my appeal. So, okay, cool. We're getting this right off to a rip-roaring start. So I explain to the branch what happened. The investigators didn't do their job, but that the branch secretary doesn't have the authority to make this delay. The branch has to make that decision. And the secretary's response is, well, the committee didn't do their job, and so it has to be delayed. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it can be delayed. It just can't be delayed by you. You don't have the authority to make that decision. And then the president chimes in, and the president's like, well, I gave him that authority. And I said, no, that's wrong on two counts. Number one, when I asked you about it, you did not say that you gave him that authority. You said you wipe your hands of it. You got nothing to do with it. So now you're changing your story, and I've got it in writing that that's not what the rationale was. And number two, even if you did, you don't have that authority either. And guys, I got to tell you, if you go back and listen to the episodes like where I got fired from the Carrier Academy by this president, you'll hear me talk about how I'm scared and how, oh, it's for Michael. You'll hear me talk about how I'm scared and I got to just keep my head down at the meetings. And dude, I have come so far from that mindset to the mindset at this meeting where I'm pointing at both of them saying, you don't have the authority and you don't have the authority either to do this delay. It's got to be done by the branch. And guys, my position held the day. It carried, and the decision was put to the branch. And then the branch decided to delay the charges because what are we going to do? The investigators didn't do their investigation. But that felt so good to make this argument, to say you guys don't have that authority, and to have the branch agree and then do their properly vested job because they are the ultimate authority at the branch level. There's the branch itself, the people, the carriers, the members. And it was so satisfying.
So one of the committee that's supposed to investigate, he actually said that nobody contacted him.
Right.
Okay. So I said, look, this guy is saying that nobody contacted to the hall, let him know that he like how this procedure works or anything. He got nothing, no call.
Right.
Okay. And so we're talking about then another guy from the committee. He goes, well, I called in and said that I've been busy working 12 hours a day during Christmas. I didn't have the time.
Right.
I said, okay, great.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do. We need to figure out what the committee is doing and not what secretary decides or what the president decides.
Right, exactly.
It's the committees of what they're doing. And the committee is like, yeah, we would like to delay it. And so I said, great. then now why can't we have a vote to delay it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, like the when the committee says, you know, they didn't do their job, the president's argument was, well, we can't make them do their job. I can't, you know, like force them to investigate. Said, no, but you have the general supervisory authority. It's your responsibility to put them on task. And you never even attempted to put them on task.
Didn't even call them.
Yeah. Never called
them. One of them had to call him saying, I'm busy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the other people in the committee, like all they ever got was an email of the charges and that was it. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's stonewalling, plain and simple. It's stonewalling.
Well, it's because they didn't want this to come up.
Yeah,
and that's exactly they knew that right. This appeal that's coming up is for re-election, and they didn't want all these things to come up to make
them look even worse, to make them look like what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So then, you know, something else noteworthy. So this meeting was also where all of our new officers, the ones voted in the tainted election, are going to get sworn in
by Dan Toth, who's the director of retiree.
Exactly. And so we had a special guest here to watch the shit show that is our branch meeting. And oh, you got a hell of a show. I'm sure when he goes back to DC, they'll be like, oh, you went to Vegas. Did you see any shows? You might say that.
Yep.
Dude. So we do the swearing in and then we move on. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, you know, there's during the swearing, he put it just like as if somebody's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
If you have anything you have to say and you know, hold your peace. If you
have an objection to these people.
And there was like a dozen people say, yeah, we do. And they're like, okay. Well, yeah, I know about the re-election thing that you guys are going to be voting on.
Right.
So we know about that. Anything else?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was funny. Well, I forgot about that. Yeah. That's a good call. Dude. And then, so as Michael had alluded to earlier, at this point, we realized, like, you know, everything we're doing is time consuming. And they had put the election appeal at the end of the agenda.
Right.
And so we had really good attendance at this meeting, at least by our branch standards. There might have been close to 100 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
90. And some 90. People left because it was getting late.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we realized, like, oh, dude, we're going to have to move this up if we don't want everybody to leave. Because the executive board, which is now all the president's cronies, it's all the good old boys, they're going to stay till the end of the meeting. And so if we want the branch to have its own voice, we got to move this up so that they don't just go home.
Yeah.
And so I text around to our little group and I'm like, hey, we got to do this. You know, I already spoke up once today and I'm going to be reading the appeal. Who's going to step up to make this motion?
That was me.
And that was Michael. Dude, Michael's so good about stuff like that. And so he makes the motion to move in the agenda to essentially right now.
Yeah. Of course, Paul's like, well, then we're in the middle of this thing. We're going, okay, fine.
Yeah, okay. It'll be
let's
the next
go ahead and finish it right now. And I stood there waited to finish.
You're right, right. And then you made the motion.
And then as soon as they were all right, I want to make a motion to bring up the appeals process to now.
Right. And so what was interesting about that argument, so Michael makes his motion, and then we essentially start arguing about the election right away. And so before this, four people had met up to the four people making their appeal. It was me, the outgoing branch treasurer. It was a former guest on Class as a Male. And the fourth person was the superhero that I've referred to before, who sat next to me at the previous meeting. Those are our four appeals. And so we got together and we talked about it because we're all essentially asking for the same thing. Everybody had already agreed that the votes need to be redone, but we felt that the nominations needed to be redone as well. And so we've got the superhero there as one of our people who are going to have their appeal. And I'm like, dude, the superhero should go first because
she didn't.
Well, but that was my thought because she's going to have the best argument, the best presentation. She's the most persuasive. And so she should go first. And then if she wins the day, then all the rest of us can just drop our appeal. She had a much better idea.
No. So our executive board people was purposely trying to not have the appeal because they were just talking about a bunch of other things, people having opinions, and trying to drag it all so that people don't even want to hear the appeals anymore kind of thing.
Right, that it was a waste of time.
So we finally said, we pushed and said, we need to start reading the appeal. This is BS. You know, this is the appeals time, not an opinion time.
Right.
And so I said, I told Alan, I'm like, Alan, go up there. He said, this is appeal time.
Right.
Dude.
And so before that happens, like I get all my papers together. So the superhero said that I should go first because I'm, you know, I'm a persuasive speaker, but also because of her specific skills and experience, people are going to argue my appeal and she'll get to hear what all the arguments are on the good old boy side. And if it gets to a second appeal, then she could go and just tear down all those arguments. And so, all right, I'm going to go first. So yeah, I get all my papers together. And then before I can get started, the branch secretary gets up to the microphone and A, explains the executive board's decision and the whole process that they went through, and more on that in a second. And then B, why my appeal that I'm about to make is bullshit and a waste of time. And what was great, you're going to talk about the superhero?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
So actually, I forgot to tell you is when I was filing for the motion to move the appeals early, they were like, well, what appeal are you talking about? Like, they didn't know what it was. Okay.
Right.
But my answer was very clear and precise. Uh-huh. I said, this appeal is about the re-election because that it was approved by the E board already because something went wrong with the election. Mm-hmm. And so this appeal is about not including the nominations.
Right.
And so we're going to be talking about this at the appeal. And because this is a big thing, we need to do this now.
Right. When the most democratic process
and Paul was trying to mess it up, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because I said it nice and clear.
Right. So the treasurer or the secretary gets up there and gives his whole talk. And so first I'll say the superhero got up to challenge some of the things that the secretary was saying because he's supposed to be just addressing what were appealing, and then he started throwing in these other arguments as preemptive arguments against what he knew I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she stands up and she's like, you're out of order. You can't talk about these arguments because they never came up in your address. Like in the executive board's appeal, this stuff was never addressed. And so you're making new arguments here. You're not even telling us what you're claiming to be telling us. You're just up here trying to make arguments. And dude, it was so amazing. She's such an ass kicker.
Yeah. So what the secretary was saying is that the appeal process he was trying to explain had nothing to do with the appeals that was put in by the four appeals that was put in place. Okay.
I'm not following you, and I was there. What do you mean?
So there was four appeals.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the appeal process that the election committee executive board. The reason that they made that decision is because the person that wanted to be a steward from this station, he wasn't qualified. So therefore, and since he didn't file an appeal, it didn't matter. Yeah. And he was trying to go...
How all of our complaints weren't valid. Yep.
So he was trying to change it around. And,
right.
And our hero basically said, look, secretary, you cannot be using... on a part that was not in the appeal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And she was right. He was out of order to be talking about that. And again, he's just up there, like essentially making his argument again, trying to undermine what I'm doing. So another thing I want to point out about this whole process is he's up on the dais with all the rest of the elected, you know, all the other branch officers. They're all up on this dais and he's essentially preaching to the branch, to the audience. Well, in Robert's rules, technically, all of your comments are supposed to be addressed to the chair. And it's not really enforced. It's very conversational. It's very loose until I'm talking. Now, all of a sudden, it is critical that I face the chair and only address the chair and do not address the audience. And they are adamant that that's the way it needs to be. Right. So much so that when I finally go up to make my appeal, I say that, hey, in the election rules, it says that I'm making my appeal to the branch, so I would like to address the branch with my appeal. And Paul said, no. So, okay, I got to face forward. Yeah.
So, but here's the issue is that both the president and the secretary kept telling you, you need to go over here, you go there. If they're playing games with you.
Yeah.
But you never looked at me or other people that's supporting you to tell you where it will be the best spot.
Yeah, I was trying to find a good place to set up the mic where I could, because ultimately I am making my appeal to the branch. Let's not, you know, mince words about it. But if they're going to be strict about me facing the chair, I'm like, okay, well, why don't I go off to the side? Yeah. That way I can look at them, but also still look at the branch.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. But anyway, so you did what you did.
So yeah, I went
you stood
front and center,
the president,
facing them directly. Yep. And in a way, it's better because I know as a public speaker, I'm going to just automatically talk to the branch, and it's going to wind up causing a problem.
Yeah, as a public speaker, you speak to the people and not one person. That is just weird.
It is weird. Yeah. So, oh well, that's the way it has to be. So I make do, and I'm in the middle, right in front of the dais, facing the dais. So
Alan's reading the appeal, and he's reading it for probably about 5 minutes or so on the appeal. And, of course, our secretary decided to step in and start talking about nonsense. But he goes, hey, Alan, I wanted to answer what you're saying. Is that okay? And you go, yeah. Like you would be like, whatever. There's nothing you can say that.
I wasn't afraid of what he was going to say. That's for sure.
But he was breaking your appeal.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so he was doing that, and he was going on and on and on to a point where everybody, not me,
right,
everybody that was there, getting angry. Like finally, they all speak up.
Dude, let him read his appeal.
And he says, "So Jerry, let him finish speaking the appeal. Can you stop talking?"
Yeah. So what his issue was is in the beginning, for context, really for two reasons. I wanted to go over the improprieties during the voting itself, because there were a number of those, and a lot of people at the meeting probably don't really know the full breadth of the improprieties. Mm-hmm. And number two, it lays the context for what happened before the election and shows that this is all a pattern, that it's not just a one-off. And so that's what I was going through. And he interrupted me to say, hey, it's a waste of time to talk about this. We all already agree that the voting was messed up. You know, just drop it and let's get on to the nominations. And I pushed back on that. And he says, well, look, I already agree with everything you've said to this point. And I said, oh, that's good. Because a few seconds ago, I said that the president ordered our ballots because his name is on the invoice. So good to know that you agree with that. And then the president's like, no, he didn't say that. So that was good times.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then the election chair, who is now our branch treasurer, chimed in because I think I said at one point, like, yeah, I get it. You know, you guys will do anything you can to avoid answering these questions.
And he started answering.
Yeah, the treasurer chimed in and said, I'm going to answer your questions. I'll answer. And I said, dude, you've had plenty of time to come clean about all this stuff.
And now you want to do it now? Stonewall.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, next week, I'll answer your questions. All right. Well, we'll see. I hope that's true.
But he shut up, and then he shut up pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, because now the Department of Labor is involved.
Yeah. So, didn't know about that, I don't think, at that time.
I don't think he knew about
it. No, he knew about one, but he didn't know there was two.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So what happened was that the charges that our election chair, current treasurer now, charged us because of defamation, saying we're talking and making him look bad because he's not doing his job.
Right.
And so he filed a charge against us, and which is completely illegal by LMRDA, Department of Labor, NLRB, it strictly says that the basic freedom of speech, that we're allowed to talk about the leadership.
And specifically, we can credit, branch officers, right?
And so because he did that, and they contacting us saying, hey, if you drop his charge, we'll drop our charge.
Right.
And
right.
So they're still storming us. Yeah. And so we got to the point where we're like, you know what? It's that this is definitely wrong, and we got to do what we got to do. And we filed a charge against our previous election chair and treasurer that he didn't do his, that he was arming us and trying to threaten us.
Right. Which is specifically
to be quiet.
It's also prohibited in NALC policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And dude, I mean, this is another one of those situations, like from the last episode where we talked about, we went to the branch first, to the branch leaders, to try to address this. Dude, I sent the Department of Labor rule and the NLC rule to our branch president and be like, hey, you know, this is what these rules are. And they don't care. They just keep pushing through.
Yeah, our union is supposed to be transparency of what they're doing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And our branch has been hiding everything.
Yeah, it's wild.
And there was another part where before when we're filing with the appeal, that we're talking about the bylaws,
mm-hmm.
Okay, where maybe it was after.
It was at the end of the meeting. Okay, so let me get back to the appeal.
Let's talk about the bylaws thing afterwards.
So I go back to reading my appeal, and now I get into all of the arguments about the nominations themselves and how the announcement was done wrong because it's supposed to be on the front page of our union newsletter. And dude, the good old boys are still making the, I know we've talked about it on this podcast. I don't want to belabor it here, but the Department of Labor 100% agrees with our position. And I read rulings from the Department of Labor that very clearly laid out our case. And then also with the nomination, that somebody being inappropriately denied their nomination, if they're a member in good standing, then you got to redo the nomination process. And this is all like citations from the Department of Labor. And the argument back from the good old boys is, well, this is the way we've always done it. And like, again, there's a big gap here in these two types of argument.
And I mean, I know this is a little bit later, but when I talked to some of the carriers afterward, they were like, I'm getting so sick and tired of hearing that they've been doing this forever.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we know they've been doing it wrong. And it's not coming from us. It's coming from other carriers now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I finally complete my argument. And dude, credit again to the superhero for one change, a major change to my appeal, which I was just going to ask for a complete rerun back to nominations. Mm-hmm. And the superhero added another caveat, which is we need to have an outside observer come in.
Overseer.
An overseer. Yeah, exactly. To provide oversight and make sure that the election is run properly. Somebody from outside the branch.
Yeah. Ellen kept saying observant. I'm like, no, Ellen, no. We don't want somebody just to watch. Observant
conduct or something like that.
We need them to oversee it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I added that to my appeal. And so those are the two things I asked for. Redo it and then bring in the outside observer from National.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I finish. And when I finish outside my
appeal. Outside overseer from National.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I finish my appeal, guys, there was applause. It was so cool. And so, all right. So that's good. That's encouraging. And then I go and sit back down. And then the debate begins. And again, it's this same pattern where the people on our side are citing rules and, you know, citing sources. And then the people on the other side are like, well, this is the way we've always done it. And the superhero gets up there. And I think she could tell that the room, like she could take the temperature of the room. But she wanted to, you know, knock in that last run. And so she got up there and essentially read like the highlights of her appeal. And dude, she's so authoritative. And powerful. Go ahead.
The best one that she talked about that I like the most is that if they fail at their job, that's the our officers.
Officers, yeah.
If they fail at their job or they don't do their job, they can be removed as officers. They can be fired as officers. They can be removed as union members. And I mean, she was saying all those things, and I was, and I'm sure they heard that.
Yeah, and this is all right from the Department of Labor website, and that's again, that's the key difference. So then, my favorite part of the night is, you know, there's back and forth with Robert's rules. Okay, who wants to speak for the motion? Who wants to speak against? And we still had a good amount of hands up to speak for the motion, which is to go with my appeal. And the last guy to get up to speak against the motion was this old timer. And guys,
who's been retired for many years.
Yeah. And it was hilarious because he gets up there ostensibly thinking that he's defending the good old boys.
Yes.
And his argument is like, we haven't been paying attention to the rules for the last 30 years and it's fine. Like, what's your guys' problem wanting to do this now? And he actually spent like his first 5 minutes just talking shit about me.
Right.
And talking shit about the podcast. Uh-huh. And you know, he could have at least mentioned classes of mail, but he didn't say the name of the podcast.
I know.
But that's all right. You know, take the good with the bad.
Yep.
So, and then when he gets into his argument, you know, that like, how come all of a sudden people are worried about the rules when we've never gone by the rules?
Yeah, he goes, Secretary, you know, how many charges we got now? And he's like, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was another argument that the old timer made was like, how come before when we had our president forever, like there weren't charges, but now all of a sudden we got this new president in and there's all these people getting charges against them. And I'm thinking like, yeah, dude, there's a good reason for that. Like something may have changed when that new president took over that it makes this happen. And then my favorite thing was when he said, if you guys want to be, well, so he accused us of only looking into the rules because we lost, even though we were already bringing this stuff up well before the votes were in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got something? Go ahead.
Yeah. So And because he was, when he was talking about how we've been breaking the rules for all these years, and you can see Paul's telling the guy, dude, yeah, be quiet, him to go stop. Back, go sit yeah, down, like go sit down. Yep. I can see him saying, dude, cut off, go right. sit
He's
down.
Doing like and the guy,
and the guy's like,
thing.
No, I said, I'm going to stand here. You can see his attitude, like, I'm going to stand here to protect you more by saying more stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, he ended really up getting to be worse, which was awesome.
Yeah, he really thought that he was carrying the water for the good old boys. And then the last thing he said was so hilarious, because he goes, if you guys want to be following these rules, I got one piece of advice for you. Be careful what you wish for. And then he went on to explain that, do you guys even realize that union stewards are supposed to attend all the meetings? But then he really gets the good one. He goes, and you know what? There's something else in our bylaws that I bet you don't know about. If the branch pays for an officer to go to one of these meetings or to attend a class, did you know that when they get back, they're supposed to hold a seminar at the branch? And if they don't, they have to pay the branch back for all their travel expenses. Did you guys even know that that's a rule?
You can see our president's like,
yeah, the president's trying to shut him up. And dude, and I'm like, yeah, dude, we got charges pending on that very topic. Like, yes, I am aware of that rule. And yes, I do want to see that enforced.
And as you guys know, on previous podcasts, we talked about it.
Yeah. And dude, this is another one of those things where I have brought this up to branch officers before taking the next step. Like, dude, I've given them every chance. Like I, the first time it was just because I saw this in the bylaws and I'm like, dude, I would like to attend these seminars. How come I've never heard of these seminars? I want to know the stuff you guys learn. And that's how I found out. Oh, we don't do those. Yeah. And so, okay, are you paying the branch back? Well, no. Yeah. That's the way our branches run.
Yeah.
So yeah, dude. So that guy, that was like, that was the highlight of, that was so funny.
So here's the thing is,
yeah,
Alan, I mean, he was okay. I mean, he could have been better. So, and our hero could have been better.
In what way?
It's like, because you guys got the part where it's like you guys had the written out what you guys want to talk about. And you guys kept losing track. And you have to keep going back and forth. So you guys were kind of losing the floor a little bit on those parts.
Okay.
And so people were getting kind of irritated because it was taking so long.
It was time consuming.
And
my speech was like 12 minutes.
So, but the biggest benefit was when that guy got up.
Yeah.
And it made himself look so bad.
Right.
And made our made our branch president and the secretary look so bad.
Yeah.
He's thinking that he's doing good for them.
Right.
And
if we'd have had a plant, we couldn't have scripted it better.
Oh, I mean, he made it so much better for us.
Yeah.
It was awesome. That it didn't matter what Alan said. It didn't matter what our hero said. This is what the best part. We've been breaking rules for all these years. Right. So why do you care now?
Yeah. Exactly.
That was the best part.
So good.
Yeah,
so good.
That was the best part.
All right. So then finally somebody calls for the question and it's time to vote. Yep. So first we have our vote to call for the question. And dude, even that, like, I don't know if the president had just gotten flustered at that point because
he was.
Because the room had turned, you know, if it hadn't turned already, and he could probably tell. But he totally fumbled the calling for the question. And it wasn't clear, like, what we were voting on. It may have also been intentional to muddy the waters. It's hard to say. But giving him the benefit of the doubt, he just flubbed it. And so we had to do it, like, three times to figure out, like, what we're actually voting on.
To clarify what we're voting on.
And then once we call for the question, then he kept misstating what the appeal was and what I was asking for. And we had to do that, like, five times before it was finally time to vote. And then when it's time to vote, he goes, like, all right, I guess if you want to vote for the appeal, then say yes. And, like, that's how he called for the vote. And, dude, anything they can do, you know, to flub the process. So then we vote, and the people say yes, and then he calls for the other side, and the people say no. And immediately in the crowd, everybody's like, oh, cool, the yeses caught it. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was loud, yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes, in the opinion of the chair, the nays have it. And we're like, what?
No. He didn't say the nays have it. He goes, we can't tell if what the...
But he gave his opinion. He did say the nays have it.
So he goes, we're like, well,
so
we're going to have to do a count.
So immediately somebody called for a count. I don't know who it was, but it took like half a second. Somebody's like, call for a count.
Yeah.
So we call for a count, And the sergeant at arms goes around and starts tallying votes. And guys, we won that vote 52 to 23, more than a 2/3 majority.
And the executive board, there was at least
10.
I think there
maybe
were
maybe more.
At least a dozen were there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They voted as a block.
So that means the people that voted that was not in the board,
right?
The audience was about 11 or 12 people, and that's it.
Yeah. To 52. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely destroyed that vote.
Right.
And guys, I cannot tell you how satisfying that is. Like, this is the first.
You forgot to say one thing.
Okay.
Right after the vote was done.
Uh huh. Oh.
Okay.
Dude, I know what you're going to say.
Our president goes,
somebody asked him,
mm-hmm.
Okay, when do we start the new process?
And he goes, oh, it's not going to happen because I'm going to file an appeal and that re-election is not going to happen.
Right.
And this is the best part.
He said that it'd have to wait until after the appeal. And he's talking about the appeal to the convention in 2026.
Right.
Because that's the next step of the appeal
process. No. The next step is the appeal committee.
Committee. Yeah, you're right.
At national.
Yeah.
And so that re-election is not going to happen until then or whatever.
Yeah.
And what's great is Nancy Pelosi goes, no. Once the membership
treasurer,
makes...
The outgoing treasurer.
Yeah. Our outgoing treasurer says, hey... we're going, you know, what the membership decides, and you're supposed to have a re-election.
Yeah.
And you know what the best thing about that was?
I do know, but tell the listeners.
Is that our national retiree officer who was there to install the officers he tells Paul,
yeah.
Oh, you have to have the re-election. They voted for it.
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah. You can file your appeal later.
But, yeah. Yeah, dude.
So he basically told him that we have to have the re-election
guys,
no matter what.
It was so sweet. You know, all this work we've been putting in, all this reading of the rules on classes of mail, getting with people from around the country, getting support and inspiration and advice from people around the country, and seeing this grassroots movement, this rank and file movement, start to take hold. That meeting Thursday night, January 9th, 2025, was like the first real fruit of this pushback against the good old boys. And I am so glad to see that when the evidence is presented, that the branch stood up and sided with our bylaws, with the rule of law. It was so encouraging.
Yeah. And then another thing is during when Alan was doing the appeal and our secretary was trying to stop him from talking and he was trying to delay things. What was the best part was that I wasn't telling him to like stop talking. Mm. It was all the members telling him to stop talking and let Alan finish.
Yeah.
And that's where our secretary got so stressed out that he couldn't keep his head up. Dude. He had to lay his head under the table the rest of the time. Okay?
I didn't notice.
And his whole head turned bright red.
Yeah.
And
I did notice that.
And he set his head all the way down like this on his shoulder the rest of the time that Alan was talking.
Dude.
Okay? He looked like he very defeated at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
It's pretty great.
It was good that our membership are starting to notice. And what did I say in the last podcast?
I don't know.
They're on the way to wake up the giant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And I said the giant is our membership.
Dude, the guy who called me from California, that was one of his big takeaways from that podcast. He loved how you said that.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, because here's the reality. So we had this huge victory, you know, Everything went our way, except for the reading of the charges. But that's another thing that the branch isn't involved in that yet. Mm-hmm. You know, that's still the good old boys just doing what the good old boys are going to do. But everything that the branch got involved with went our way. Went the way of... It's not even our way. It's the way that's in the freaking bylaws.
Right. How it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But the idea of this, the sleeping giant, is to put things in perspective, we had 75 votes, 52 to 23. That represents less than 5% of our branch.
Mm-hmm.
There's still 95% of the branch unaccounted for, and we don't really know how much word is spreading, how much people are finding out what's really going on, how much people care. Because honestly, most letter carriers are still, I come to work, I put the mail in a box, I go home.
Well, that, you know what that means, Alan?
What's that?
We have to campaign harder.
We do. We do. And I got some advice. I got a call. I don't know if he'd want me to say that he called me or not, but I'm not going to worry about it. But I got a call from somebody nationally prominent in the NALC. yesterday. We're recording this. Today is Sunday.
By the way, I'm a Broncos fan.
And I'm a Bills fan.
Yeah, which happened to be the same day they played, and Broncos got their ass whooped.
Yeah, we just came from the Buffalo Bills bar watching the Bills whoop ass. It was pretty great.
Well, no, it wasn't.
So anyway, but yeah, I got a call yesterday from a nationally prominent NALC figure, and he gave me some really good advice on running our election in a more efficient manner. And was super supportive, and it was fantastic. It was so great to hear from this person, and it really made my night. Man, I was on cloud nine. It's so cool.
But there was more after the meeting. Now, but here's the thing.
I left as soon as the meeting was over. No. So go ahead and say.
No, his brain was gone. But
hold on, because there's one more little thing.
There's some caveat that happened afterwards.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Hold on, because still during the meeting, after the vote, everybody cleared out. Which is kind of what we figured would happen.
Right.
And so we finally get to the
end. I was going to bring up saying that Secretary failed to bring charges that I filed against.
But dude, at that point.
But it was already so late that, you know what, I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, everybody was burned out. Yeah. They were not ready for another argument.
We'll just still file charge against our secretary for not doing his job, but.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyway, at the end of the meeting, now it's time on our agenda is the appointment of the new committees.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all these committees that have to be filled. And dude, there's only like 10 people left in the audience at this point.
Yeah, this is picking out who wants to be the entertainment committee, who wants to do this committee, that committee.
Right.
But what's funniest is that when they were choosing the bylaw committee, guess who raised their hand?
Well, I didn't raise my hand. What happened is our incoming executive vice president raised her hand, and she's a rules nudge, kind of like me. And so she raises her hand right away. And so she gets onto the bylaws committee. And then,
by the way, she doesn't know the rules.
Well, I don't know.
I've dealt with her. Okay. She doesn't know the rules.
All right. I can't speak to that. So then the branch secretary raises his hand to be on the bylaws committee, which is funny because like we haven't had bylaws in like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And but okay.
And then other people are like, Ellen, why aren't you going after that?
Uh-huh. The incumbent and reelected vice president is like, come on, Alan, you know you want to do that. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I thought it might be too on the nose. But so I raised my hand, and now I am on the bylaws committee.
And then I raised my hand. I don't know if you guys know why.
I know why.
Yeah, it's because I said, so now that doesn't mean that we're going to get our bylaws current? And so they started talking about how the bylaws that we just passed about
We made a change in
Bylaws to pay the committee that's going to do investigation.
It's not an important thing.
But anyway, so I asked a question, what's going to happen with that bylaws? Mm-hmm. And the answer from the president is that he has to send it to National, to Nicole, which I asked and said, okay, does that mean Nicole Rhyme? Can you just go by the whole full name instead of just saying first name? Not everybody knows who that person is. Can you actually name the...
People don't know who Nicole Ryan is either.
Well, who is the national secretary,
The recording
and secretary. So he was like, yeah. And then when she said yes or no or whatever, once gets yes, that's great. Okay. Once she says yes, what do you do with it? Well, that's it. I'm like, what do you mean that's it? Don't you have to update the bylaws and print it out?
And that's the problem.
And so he goes, well, you know, that's how that works and everything. I'm like, can you guys at least put it together and with all the new bylaws? Because I remember the last time we passed the bylaws last time that you're going to raise all the officers' pay to the max level and not step P or wherever it was at because there's been more raises that's above the level P. So you guys changed it
or
to
O to
pay,
P, whatever it was.
So whatever, just to the highest level now. And so are you adding that in there? Is that that was approved. But I'm asking if it's going to be in the new bylaws.
Right.
And so they're like, well, if you want it. So our president goes, well, if you want it done nice and neat, we'll put it all nice and neat and put it together just for you.
Right, in a condescending way.
And I go, oh, no, not just for me. It's for all the members.
Yeah, because in our bylaws, it says that everybody gets a copy of the bylaws, including new members get copies. And so I said, dude, and obviously you guys aren't doing this thing.
Nobody's got new bylaws.
Yeah. And once again, this is like a big change from what I was scared and keeping my head down to now openly calling out that you guys are not doing your job.
So they're telling you, like, don't you have bylaws, Al? Don't you, Michael, have bylaws? I have old bylaws. You have old bylaws. Yep. We have bylaws that was from different years that it's different from one person.
Yeah. And then he says, well, you know, there's a link to the bylaws on our website. Yeah, that link hasn't worked in years. And I have told you that that link mm-hmm. has not worked in mm-hmm. years. Oh, well, we'll see about getting that fixed. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, know. Yeah.
Yeah, they get right on that. Mm-hmm. Right after they change the music that automatically plays.
Yeah, so, which is the most annoying thing.
It is Claude Debussy. Yeah, it is my favorite composer. Okay. But not Sorry. The best version of
yeah.
it. Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, so he goes, oh, we're going to be nice and clean and neat and put it together all nice yeah. and neatly for you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, those some of the people that was left listening that, to that, they're yeah, like, what the heck?
He exposes who he is, what his personality is.
And the biggest thing that I really liked
uh-huh.
was our retiree from the National. He was like, oh my gosh. His eyes were like, I can't believe they're not
well,
doing
this.
Well,
he was gone by that point.
No, he was still there.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, I could have sworn he'd picked
no,
up.
No, he was
left.
Still there.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he got a hell of a show, like we said mm-hmm. earlier. All right, so that's the meeting. Dude, super satisfying again. Thank you guys for your support. The people who write in, classesofmail@gmail.com, the messages I got on Facebook, it really
Let's
means
the world
to me. Let's
wake up the sleeping giant.
That's right. And that's you guys. You know, even more satisfying than the people who write in to be like, hey, thanks, I like the podcast, are the people who have written into me. There's a carrier in California who, his branch president won't make him a steward. And he heard the steps that I took, and he took those steps. And, you know, that's super satisfying. Oh, that I've shown the way of how to do this. And then there was another carrier in Florida who went through that same thing. There's another one who's trying to, you know, bring the good old boys to in compliance with their bylaws. And now they're learning all these steps in Article 10, Article 11. And, guys, it means the world to me. I'm so happy to have people out there working to turn this into a rank and file union and to get rid of the good old boys.
Well, this is a good victory,
but it's only
this
the beginning.
This is only yeah. the beginning. This is not the re-election yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe our current president is going to try to make it so there is no re-election. So we have to do what we got to do to make sure that it happens.
But that's why the biggest real practical victory of the night is mm-hmm. the inclusion in the appeal that it's going to be overseen by somebody from National.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's going to put a stop to all those shenanigans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our hero knew that rule that our National has that available mm-hmm. at National Business Agent's office, and our National actually has crews that does that.
Nice.
And so I'm like, that's awesome. You know, I didn't. Yeah. Nobody knows that they actually have those yeah, crews to do.
We need
that. We need them here,
dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't get that, then we're gonna wind up in trusteeship, mm-hmm. and nobody needs that.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. The current trustee that our current president
no.
was on his team.
No, dude. Trusteeship is where your branch is so screwed up mm-hmm. that they have to send somebody in from National who kicks everybody right. out of office and like takes over
right.
until you get your shit together.
Right.
That's trusteeship.
Well, again, what I'm talking yeah. about is our trustee.
Yeah.
Just to give you some of the sleeping giants know that right now one of the trustees is the girlfriend of our president. Our other trustee is the wife of our treasurer.
Yeah.
If they are supposed to be there to be hold him accountable, and when you got the president and a treasurer who watches the money, who signs the checks, and you got their girlfriends or wife doing these things.
Right, checking the books. Yeah.
How is that going to be held accountable?
Dude, it's a great question.
In the next few months while they're in that office, how much things are they going to do to ruin our...
So
branch.
This is a concern that Michael wisely pointed out to me, which is we still have charges that we have to work on. We have investigations that need to be done going forward. And now that the executive board is fully made up of loyalists to the president who are already carrying water for him and covering his improprieties, how are we going to get like the documents that we need, the support we need, the records that we need? It just complicates
it's going to be
hit. Yeah,
it
makes
hiding.
It all very difficult.
They're going to be hiding money. They're going to be hiding
all
the stuff that we're trying to get. They're going to hide it better. They're going to hide their footsteps is basically what they're going to do. So we need to wake up the sleeping giant to vote.
Right.
To get vote
yeah,
them
that's
out.
That's the key. Yeah, we got to vote. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened at the meeting. Dude, we did it in only one episode and just barely under an hour. Not bad.
Yeah.
Dude, if we would have had the charges against the president, it would have taken a second
longer.
Episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that'll be the next one. When we talk about the meeting.
Yeah, at the next meeting.
He has to bring it in the next meeting. Otherwise, then I'm going to start bringing child charges against our secretary for not doing his job so that we can remove him because he won't do his job.
Right. And all of this just to carry water for the president. You know, I mean, that's what the election chair was doing when he wouldn't answer the questions. You know, it wasn't because he was guilty. It's because it looks like, and again, it's what it looks like because the names on the invoice and what we've been hearing and talking to the print company personally, it was the president who did that stuff. And it's wild. And so all these people like putting themselves at risk to carry water for this president, he ain't that great. I don't think he's worth it.
In fact, multiple stations, multiple stewards I talked to from multiple different stations, and there and a lot of carriers that I talked to, majority of them are not happy with what's going on with our branch.
How could they be?
And I've been telling them that you have to vote. And they, and you know what their answer is? I didn't get a ballot.
Despite ordering 500 extras.
Despite ordering 500 extra ballots.
You know what we didn't get to on that previous episode? Who is happy about what's happening at the branch?
I haven't seen a single one yet.
No.
Except presidents and own people.
No. Management.
Oh, yes. Management is very happy.
We didn't get to that in that previous episode.
They love our president. Just to give you a little example. Right now, our management in Las Vegas. Vegas
installation.
And North Las Vegas, Henderson, Boulder City. They're all preparing to issue dozens and dozens of discipline on this new president because they know that he'll agree to what they want.
Well, and we have stations that don't have stewards. We have very few formal A's left because they don't want to work with him. And it's a mess.
Just letting you, some of you guys know that if you don't have a steward, make sure you put give that information to the hall. And then if the hall doesn't do their job, file labor charge if you have to.
Yeah, that's a failure to represent.
Because that is a failure to represent because they must represent. Even if they you have to file a charge, and if that's not going to go anywhere, you can call business agent's office. You can call, you know. That will be the next step. It's called business agents saying, hey, our branch is not helping us on our grievances.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be active as the union member and say, hey, they're not doing their job.
Right. Okay.
So if our union, our branch is not doing their job, make sure to let other people know and people above them that they're not doing their job because that is part of their job.
Right.
Okay. And since we have so many stations, no stewards, it's very important.
Yeah. And guys, this goes, you know, not just here, but this goes around the country that if you have a valid grievance or something that you think is a valid grievance and your union steward or your local isn't taking that up, that's a labor violation. That's an issue that needs to be addressed. And you should speak up about that. Go, if it's your steward, go to your president. If it's your president, go to your business agent. And that stuff has to be addressed because that really is a Department of Labor violation in addition to our own rules.
And of course, the Department of Labor violation is also strong-arming people like us to not talk.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That's another violation.
Yep. All right. So I think that's about all we have for today. Michael, thank you again for coming on the Classes of Mail.
Hey, again, if people have questions or have any kind and want to talk to me, again, people can call me at 702-724-6355.
Dude, look at that. Giving out his phone number again. Yeah. So we love hearing from you. And thank you guys for listening so much. And dude, we kept it under an hour. Good job, us. All right. We'll catch you next time.